Welcome to Zichud Av Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masech Erevin Dav Zion. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, on Dav Vav Amid Beis. We learned that there was a Mabui Akum, a bent Mabui in the Hardah, with three intersecting Mabuis in the shape of the letter Ches. The residents followed the Chumras of both Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara asked how they could do so, for a Braisa taught, Mechumri Beis Shammai, Mechumri Beis Hillel. One who follows the Chumras of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, all of a Kasav Oimer Haksil B'choshech Holach. Regarding him, it said, the fool goes in darkness. So on our Dav, Rav Shivzi explains that the Braisa's rule not to follow the stringencies of two authorities only applies Heka Desrasri HaHadadeh, where they contradict each other. As an example, the Gemara brings the Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding how much of a spine or skull must be missing for them not to impart Tuma in an oil. Beis Shammai's shear is larger than Beis Hillel's, making him the more stringent opinion. When the same shiurim are applied to it determining when an animal is considered a trefa, Beis Hillel's smaller shear makes him more stringent. So the chumra and kula regarding tumah results in the opposite position in the case of a trefa. This is what the Braisa was referring to. In the case of the Mabui Akum and Hardah, the stringencies did not contradict each other. Point number two, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, that when the Tanakama and Chananya argued regarding the adjustments of a Mabui Mefulash, it was only when the Mabui opened on both ends into a Rishus Rabbim Midaraisa, such as a Suratya, a public thoroughfare, or a Paltya, a public square, that Chananya required a door at one end. But if the Mabui opened into a public thoroughfare at one end, and a field, which is not Midaraisa, at the other end, or it opened into fields at both ends, then even Chananya agrees, Osed Tzuras HaPesach Mekan, the Lechi V'Korah Mekan. One constructs a Tzuras HaPesach at one opening, and Alech Yochorah at the other opening. Point number three, Rav Yosef said in the name of Yehuda, if a Mabui opened into Rishus HaRabim at one end, Imaya Kalo Rechova, but at the other end it terminated into a backlot, which in turn opened into Rishus HaRabim, Ein Sarech Klum. It doesn't require any adjustment at all on the backlot side, but only Alech Yochorah at the end where it opens directly into the Rishus HaRabim, like any closed Mabui. Abai said to Rav Yosef that this ruling of Rav Yehuda reflects the ruling of Shmuel and not Rav, as it contradicts Rav in two ways. One seeming contradiction is that Rav rules that a Mavui Shinifretz B'Melo Chatzar, a Mavui that was breached along its entirety, leaving it completely open to a Chatzar, the Nifretz of Chatzar Kenegdo, and the far wall of the Chatzar was breached opposite the Mavui, opening the Chatzar to a Rishus HaRabim, Chatzu Muteres Mavui Aser, carrying in the Chatzar, is permitted, but carrying in the Mavui is prohibited unless adjustments are made. The Gemara resolves this contradiction as well as the second one. So once again, the three points are number one, on Dav Vav Amud Beis, we learned that there was a Mabui Akum, a bent Mabui in Nardah, with three intersecting Mabuis in the shape of the letter Ches. The residents followed the Chumras of both Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara asks how they could do so, for the Braisa on the previous Dav also taught Mechumre Beis Shammai, Mechumre Beis Hillel. One who follows the Chumras of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, all because of Omer Haksil B'choshech Holech. Regarding him, it said, the fool goes in darkness. So on our Dav, Rav Shivzi explains that the Braisa's rule not to follow the Chumras of two authorities only applies Heka Desrasri HaHadadeh, where they contradict each other. As an example, the Gemara brings the Malchokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding how much of a spine or skull must be missing for them not to impart Tumah in an oil. Beis Shammai's shear is larger than Beis Hillel's, making him the more stringent opinion. Now, when the same shiurim are applied to determining when an animal is considered a trefa, Beis Hillel's smaller shear makes him more stringent. So the chumra and kula regarding tumah results in the opposite position in the case of a trefa. This is what the Braisa was referring to. In the case of the Mabui Akum and Hardah, the stringencies didn't contradict each other. Point number two, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, that when the Tanakama and Chananya argued regarding the adjustments of a Mabui Mefulash, it was only when a Mavui opened on both ends into Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa, such as a Suratya, a public thoroughfare, or a Paltya, a public square, that Chananya required a door at one end. But if the Mavui opened into a public thoroughfare at one end, and a field, which is not Midaraisa, at the other end, or it opened into two fields at both ends, then even Chananya agrees that Osed Tzuras HaPesach Mekan, the Lechi V'Korah Mekan, one constructs a Tzuras HaPesach at one opening, and Alech Yochorah at the other opening. And point number three, Rav Yosef said in the name of Yehuda, if a Mabui opened into Rishus HaRabim at one end, Ima Yakalo Rechova, but at the other end it terminated into a back lot, which in turn opened into Rishus HaRabim, Ein Sarach Klum. It doesn't require any adjustment at all on the back lot side, but only Alech Yerkor at the end where it opens directly into the Rishus of Rabbim, like any closed Mavui. So Abai said to Rav Yosef that this ruling of Rav Yehuda reflects the ruling of Shmuel and not Rav, as it contradicts Rav in two ways. One seeming contradiction is that Rav rules that a Mavui shenifratz b'mlo l'chatzer, a Mavui that was breached along its entirety, leaving it completely open to a chatzer, the nifratz of chatzer kenegdo, and the far wall of the chatzer was breached opposite the Mavui, opening the chatzer to a rishus harabim, chatzer muteres u'mavui aser. Carrying in the chatzer is permitted, but carrying in the mavui is prohibited, unless adjustments are made. The Gemara resolves this contradiction as well as the second one. All right, so now we go to our sim for dav zayin. So the sim for dav zayin is a gun, a clay zayin, a weapon, a gun. So here goes. The discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa in a mavui that opened to two rishus harabims had the fingerprints of the bandit who was caught in the back lot. Once again, in slow motion. The discarded gun, that must mean we're on Dav Zion. The discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa, which reminds us that although the residents of Nardah followed the chumras of Rav and Shmuel regarding the Mabui Akum, shaped like a ches, it's not a problem regarding the Brisa that says one who follows the chumras of two Rabbanan is a fool, since Rav Shezvi taught it's only a problem when the rulings contradict one another, such as the shiurim for a spine no longer imparting tuma and what makes an animal a trefa. So the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa in a mavui that opened to two rishus harabims, which reminds us that the machlokas between the Chachamim and Chananya only applies when the mavui opens to two rishus harabims deraisa. But if one end is a field, then Chananya agrees that Tzuras HaPesach is sufficient and one doesn't need a door. So the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa in a mavui that opened to two rishus harabims had the fingerprints of the bandit who was caught in the back lot, which reminds us that Rav Yehuda's ruling regarding a mavui that ended in a back lot that opened into Rishus Rabim doesn't necessarily contradict Rav's ruling regarding a mavui that opened into a chatzer. So once again, the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa in a mavui opened into Rishus Rabim's had the fingerprints of the bandit who was caught in the back lot. Now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Gimel. So the simple Daf Gimel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The distracted camel, that must mean we're on Daf Gimel. The distracted camel, looking at the prominent hecker at the Mavui entrance, which reminds Rav stated on Dav Beis Amid Aleph, that the Chachamim will hold that the beam of Mavui may not be higher than 20 amos, derived the ruling from the height of the entrance into the Heichel, which was 20 amos. On this Dav, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak disagrees and says that the reason the Chachamim limit the Korah's height to 20 amos is Mishum Hekera, to serve as a reminder to differentiate between a Mavui and Rishus HaRabim. Rashi explains that people will see it and know that the Rabban required it, and they'll not come to confuse the Mavui with the Rishus HaRabim. It also explains why the Rabban held that an Amaltra, a prominence above 20 Amos, is permitted, since people will notice the beam because of it. So the distracted camel, looking at the prominent Heker at the Mavui entrance, smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 Amos, which reminds the Gemara asks what the halacha is if part of the Korah is within 20 Amos of the ground and the top part of the Korah is above 20 Amos. Similarly, what's the halacha if part of the schach is within 20 Amos and part of the schach is above 20 amos? Rabbi answered, "B'mavui kasher b'sukkah pasul." The core of the mavui is valid, and the sukkah is pasul. Rabbi from the town of Prazakia explained the difference between the core and the sukkah. Technically, the sukkah should be valid if the lower part of the schach is within 20 amos, except that since the sukkah is meant for an individual, the person sitting in the sukkah will not be mindful and notice if some of the lower schach is removed, and thereby make the sukkah pasul. In the case of a mavui, however, since it's meant for the public, they'll remind each other to fix it if the lower part of the korah disintegrates. Ravina said that Rabbah was machmir by the sukkah since it's a daraisa, and lenient with the mavui since it's the rabban. The Gemara brings an alternative version of Rabbah in which he rules, b'mavui pasul b'sukkah kashera, the korah of the mavui is pasul and the sukkah is valid, with explanations for Rabbah's rationale. So the distracted camel, looking at the prominent heker at the mavui entrance, smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 amos that was full of unhappy, tight-fisted guests debating the size of an amma. Which reminds us, Abai said in the name of Rav Nachman, amma sukkah va'amma's mavui ba'amma bashchamisha, the amma unit mentioned in the laws of sukkah and a mavui is a 5 tvachim unit, and amma's kalaim ba'amma bashisha, the amma unit mentioned in the laws of kalaim is 6 tvachim. Rashi explains that Rav Nachman is stating that the amma unit that will result in a chumrah is always used. This must be Rav Nachman's intent, otherwise how would he apply different measures when the Mishnah doesn't indicate which measures should be used? Rav has said in the name of Nachman that all amma units are 6 tfachim, el halu sochakos v'ahu atzevos. The amos for climber are loose amos, meaning measured with a loose fist. And the amos for a sukkah and a mabui are measured with tight amos, meaning measured with a tight fist. Tight fists are called atsevos, resembling the compressed lips of someone who's sad. And loose fists are called happy, resembling the slightly parted lips of one who smiles. Daf Dalet. So the symbol for Daf Dalet is a door, a delet. So here goes. The five tefach door, that must be more on Daf Dalet. The five tefach door used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach, which reminds Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's statement in Brisa, Kol amu she'amu chuchamim b'kalayim ba'amu bashisha b'lvad shu'a yu mitzumsumos. All the amu units the chuchamim mentioned in regard to climb are measured using an amu of six tefachim, provided they should not be precise, meaning that they should be loose tefach amos. The Gemara suggested stipulating that kalayim requires six tefachim amos implies that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that with regards to sukkah and mavui, five tefachim amos are used, which would support Abai's position. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel may have come to exclude the amu units mentioned in context of the Yesod HaMizbech, the Sovev, the Kranos, and the Mizbech HaZahav, the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbech, as well as the width and depth of the golden Mizbech, which were all measured using five tefachim units. So the five tefach dor used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbech was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, which reminds me of Vichia Barashi said in the name of Rav, Shi'urin chatzitzin mechitzin halacha l'mush misinai. Standard measurements, interpositions, and partitions are all laws which were given orally to Moshe Har Sinai. After proving that the laws of chatzitzin, interpositions, are in fact doraisa, and that hair is also chotzes doraisa, the Gemara clarifies that Rav was referring to halacha which Rabbi Yitzchak taught. Devar Torah, rubo u'makbid olav chotzes. According to Torah law, meaning halacha Moshe misinai, something on one's hair is only a chatzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and if one objects to it being there. Rashi gives the examples of dry blood, ink, clay, or tar. Rashi also explains if one does not object to the object being on his hair, it's considered as part of the body. The Rabban decreed that even if only one factor exists, meaning it covers most of one's hair, or if he objects to it being on his hair, the tefillah is invalid. So the five tefach dor used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, who also used it to teach the laws of good, loved, and dovin akuma. Which reminds the Gemara challenges Rav's assertion that the halacha of mechitzos is a halacha of Moshe Sinai from one of Rav's own teachings, in which he states that we derive the law that a mechitza is 10 tefachim from the fact that the aron was 9 tefachim and the kaparis was 1 tefach for a total of 10 tefachim. The Gemara answered that Rav was referring to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the height of the aron was only 7.5 tefachim, and therefore it cannot serve as a source of mechitzas. According to Rabbi Meir, the halacha of Moshe Sinai is coming to teach the halachos of good, extending a wall up or down, labud, viewing small gaps in a wall is closed, and dofen akuma, the law of a bent wall of a sukkah. Daf hay, so the symbol for daf hay is a haystack. Hey, here goes. The mound of hay, that must mean we're on daf hay. The mound of hay piled up under the cord that was too high, which reminds us, on daf dalet amud beis, a machlokus was brought in a case where one wanted to lower a mabui entrance that was above 20 amos by building up the ground beneath the korah. Rav Yosef said that the mound must be at least one tefach wide into the mabui, and Abai said it must be at least four tefachim wide. One explanation for the basis of the machlokas is as follows. Rav Yosef holds mutlishtamish tachas a korah. It is permissible to carry directly under the korah, and therefore the person will notice the korah and be reminded not to carry in rishus rabim. Abai disagrees and holds aslishtamish tachas a korah. It is forbidden to carry directly under the korah, and therefore, the korah must be recognizable when one is not standing directly underneath it. Rashi explains that once the mound must extend past the korah, it's required to have a chash of width, which is the width of four tefachim. A second explanation of the machlokas is that everybody holds mutli shtamish tachas korah. It is permissible to carry under the korah. However, they dispute the purpose of the korah. Rav Yosef holds that it's there to serve as a heker, and therefore one tefach is sufficient. Abaya holds that it's there to serve as a mechitza, and a mechitza is only halachically considered a partition when it sets off an area that is at least 4x4 tefachim. And the Gemara brings two additional explanations. So the mound of hay piled up under the court that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa. Ein mavui nitte belechi bekora ad shubatim bechitzeres besukim usocho. Carrying a mavui is not permissible with a lechi or kora unless there are courtyards and houses opening into it, meaning at least two courtyards with at least two homes in each courtyard. Rav Nachman says, Nikatilan, we have the following tradition. Ezu mavui shenit belechi bekora. Which kind of mavui is permissible to carry in with a lechi or a kora? Kosha archu yaser rachbo Ubati mechetzeros pasuk musocho. Any mavu whose length is greater than its width, and that courtyards and houses open into it. Rashi explains that a square mavu has the status of a chatzer, which has more extensive requirements to permit carrying within it. So the mound of hay piled up under the court that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards, who didn't realize their four amma wide lechi was also too wide. Which reminds Rami Bar Chama said in the name of Rav that if a lechi protrudes four amos into the entranceway, nidum mishum mavui, it's judged as a wall of the mavui, but sarik lechi acher la'atira, and it therefore requires another lechi to permit carrying into it. Rav Papa says one should place the lechi on the other side of the entranceway, where it will stand alone and will not be mistaken as part of the original wide lechi. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, says that one may even place it next to the wide lechi if he makes it taller or shorter or thicker or thinner so that it's distinct. Daf Vav. So the simple Daf Vav is a sword. So here goes. The matador with the sword. Sword, that must be more on Daf Vav. The matador with the sword, who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall, which reminds us there's a Machlokas Amarim regarding gaps in Mavui walls. Rav Chanan bar Rav said in the name of Rav, Mavui shenifritz metzido be'eser amos marosh barba. A mavui can have a maximum gap up until 10 amos in its side wall, as long as there's four tefachim of wall before the gap. But in the front wall, in a case, for example, where the mavui had a 20 amos opening and was then closed up by a 10 amos wall, then four tefachim in that wall is the maximum breach. The Gemara asks why a breach in the front wall can't be up to 10 amos like a gap in the side wall and be considered an entrance. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, answered that when Rav Chanan stated a breach in the front, he was referring to a breach in the corner. Since people don't usually construct entrances in corners, it can't be considered an entrance. Instead, it's viewed as a gap that makes the mavui puzzle. Rav Huna says, Echozeba, Echozeb barba. In either case, whether the breach is in the sidewall or in the corner, a breach that is four tefachim wide puzzles the mavui. So the matador with the sword who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall and running through a bent mavui, which reminds us there's malchokas regarding a mavui akum, a bent mavui, which is an L-shaped mavui that opens to the street on both ends. Rav says, Tarasuk mafulash, its law is that of an open mavui, meaning each leg is viewed as an open mavui which requires a tzuras of pesach at one end and a lechi or kor at the other. Shmuel says, Tarasuk asasim, its law is that of a closed mavui, and therefore all that is required is a lechi or kor at each end. So the matador with the sword, who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall and running through a bent mavui, was disqualified by the judge, whose opinion was always followed. Which reminds, the Gemara points out a contradiction of Brice, which initially states, Lom halacha ka beis hillel, the halacha always follows beis hillel, and then states immediately afterwards, V'harotz lasus ki divrei beis shammai oseh, ki divrei beis hillel oseh, and one who wishes to act in accordance with beis shammai may do so, and one who wants to act in accordance with beis hillel may do so. So three answers are given. Number one, kan kodem baskol, kan l'acher baskol. The second part that states one can choose whom to follow was said before the baskol stated that Beis Hillel's opinion should be followed, and the first statement was made after the baskol. Answer number two, the first and second part were both stated after the baskol. The second part, however, reflects the view of Rabbi Yeshua, who pays no heed to baskols. And answer number three, the second part of the Braisa means to say that anywhere there's a malchokas, just like the arguments that we find between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whenever there's no authoritative ruling regarding who should be followed, one should not adopt the leniences of both, nor the stringencies of both, but rather one should adopt the leniences and stringencies of one Rebbe. In the case of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, however, this rule doesn't apply, since there was an authoritative ruling that Beis Hillel should be followed. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz, plus three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number one, which stuff did we learn that only a mavui with two courtyards with two houses each is permitted with a lechi or a kor? That's on Daf. Hey, good. Number two, which daf you learned that the Mishkan is sometimes referred to as Mikdash and vice versa? That's on Daf. Base. Good. Number three, which daf you learned how to resolve the seeming contradictions between the rulings of a Mavui opening into a backlot and a Mavui opening up into a Chatzer? That's on Daf. Zion. Good. Number four, which daf with Machokos regarding how wide a mound needs to be built up under a cord that is too high? That's on Daf. Hey, good. Number five, which daf do we learn that a breach in the corner of a front wall is not considered an entrance? That's on Daf. Bav. Good. Number six, which daf do we have a mokokas regarding whether a kor above 20 amos needs to be lowered? That's on Daf. Beis. Good. Number 7. Which of the learn that one can follow the chumras of two different rabbanon if they don't contradict each other? That's on Daf Zion. Good. Number 8. Which of the learn that Rabbi Meir holds that the laws of good, loved, and dofen akuma are halacha l'moshe misina? That's on Daf Dalet. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have a machlokas regarding what is required in a mavui akum, a bent mavui? That's on daf Vav. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we have that a lechi that is 4 amos wide becomes part of the mavui and a second lechi is required? That's on daf Hey, excellent. Okay, now we go to the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu's defense of Bnei Yisrael by the Chet Eagle? That's on daf Lamed Beis and Brachas. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn about the Chachma Betzalel? That's on Daf Nun Hey in Brachas. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do we have the Mishnah's list of the Lamed Tes Molachas? That's on Daf Ein Gimel and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.